Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
Well, it's a good-looking group of kids up here today. Amen. Yeah. Good to see you all. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have already started back to school? Raise your hand. Okay. We already have a good group that's already started back to school. How many starts back this week? A couple more? Okay. And then you're 2 weeks. All right. Who's all going to start back to school in 2 weeks? Everybody? All right. So everybody, a week and a half. All right, here. It's okay here. So you're all getting ready to go back to school, right? He's okay, Kennedy. He's okay. So we're all getting ready to go back to school, right? So when you go to school, you guys have to listen to your teachers. Yeah, that's why you're always in trouble. You can't say no. So you have to listen to your teachers, right? Right? You're supposed to listen to you. A good student listens to those in authority. Now, but you know what happens in school? Because it happened to me. Sometimes you get in school and then all of a sudden you get a substitute teacher. Anybody ever had a substitute teacher before? Your teacher was gone. And on those days when you have a substitute teacher, sometimes... Yeah, sometimes they're kind of mean, you know? But you know why sometimes some of these substitute teachers are kind of mean? Because sometimes these kids decide to try to get away with some extra stuff, you know? How many have ever been guilty of that? You just try to push the limits a little bit with those substitute teachers. You know, when you get a babysitter at home, there's certain things you don't do with your parents. When you get one, and then all of a sudden... Okay. When you get one, sometimes we try to push the limits of our babysitters. You know, we always try to see what we can do when there's a substitute. But today, I'm going to talk about, yep, right over there, yep. But today, we're going to talk about no substitutes, all right? And so we're going to talk about not having a substitute. Mike, I'm going to get you to pass out all of our worksheets for all of our kids today. So you're going to go back to your seat today. And take these. You can work on these today. But listen, here's what I need you to do. You have to be really, really, really great today at church. Because if you are, we have something very special after church. And you're going to want it. I promise. Okay? So, make sure that you don't get your parents saying, you don't get the special treat today because you didn't behave. Ooh. All right? We good? All right, so I want to have everybody, once you get your worksheet, to head on back to your seats this morning and color in your worksheets today. Hallelujah. While they're doing that, turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. Also, when you're done, you get that. I know. I hope you got enough. My goodness. It's like the never-ending kids and color sheets. Wow, one extra. Whew. That's good. Gary, did you say Helen needed one back there? Okay. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about no substitutes. We're going to start a new sermon kind of series going on for the next few weeks, talking about no substitutes. In Hebrews chapter 6, I want to start reading in verse 1. It says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Someone say understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds, placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. Say, move forward. Hallelujah. 29 years. 29 years. We're entering into our 30th year today. For 29 years, you have not only gotten the fundamentals, not only gotten these instructional teachings and been taught the importance of baptism and laying on the hands and of repenting of sin and all of these things. You've been taught extended teachings on the end times, and you've been taught about the power of the Holy Spirit. You've been taught about how to walk and live by faith. You know, you've been taught how to stand firm. But you know, sometimes we get in this spot where we waver, where we go back and forth, up and down, and there's all these different things. But you know, it's 29 years. Say 29 years. It's time to move forward. And I don't mean that we got to move forward and start teaching something different. I mean, you got to move forward and start walking something different. Because all I've ever desired is for you to get this word. And when you decide to put it in your heart, and you decide that this word is true, and you can do what it says you can do, and you can have what it says you can have, and you can be what it says you can be, you'll never be the same. I can look across this place after 29 years, and I can begin to go through different people and say, wow, you really got a hold of this principle, and look how it changed your life. And I can go through another, look at this, you've got a hold of this principle, and it's changed your life. But I don't want you to get a hold of a principle. I want you to get a hold of the whole thing. I want you to ingest this whole word into your heart. I want you to get a hold of it and further move forward in your understanding of what God says about you. We know what God says about us, and we preach it and we teach it to you. But it's time, say it's time, that I know what God says about me. I know it's time. I move forward. Hallelujah. Are you ready to move forward? Are you ready to move forward? Let me tell you, there is something special about moving forward. You know, all these kids are getting ready to go into a new grade of school. They're excited about moving forward. Some of them get excited. Some of them cry. I don't want to go to high school. I don't want to go to middle school. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to listen. You know, Kennedy was very honest up here saying she ain't going to listen. I just wish more of you were honest saying, I ain't going to listen to you, Pastor. You know? And make my job easier. I'd say, yep, you're not listening. But you know, sometimes when we talk about moving forward, we decide we're not going to listen. Well, I don't like that part. I'm not going to move forward in this area of my life. That assessment that you're taking in your life groups, it shows you the areas that you are emotionally strong, but it shows you the areas you're emotionally weak, because those are the areas you've decided to hold on to and not move forward. And every one of us have them. Every one of us have peaks and valleys. So that if I showed you my scores in that assessment, some of you may ask me to step down. You know, like, woo, you got some weak spots. That's okay, I know them. I was honest. But you know what? I'm not going to stay in those weak spots. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to move forward. And the question is, are you going to move forward? Are you going to decide to sit there and be dealing in the same thing you're dealing with right now next year? It's up to you. It's not up to me. It hasn't been because of 29 years of preaching that you are still stuck in the same ruts. It's because you decided not to move forward. But today we're going to move forward. We're going to take a step. When you look at Proverbs chapter 29, I'm going to read a scripture out of there, Proverbs 29, 18 and 19. Many people have read this scripture to you before. You've heard it 1,000 times. I'm going to read it out of the New American Bible Revised Edition. I don't do that often. One, because it says so long to tell you what I'm reading out of. But I'm going to read this two verses out of there today. It says, without a vision, the people lose restraint. But happy is the one who follows instruction. Not by words alone can servants be trained, for they understand but don't respond. They understand but don't respond. There's a couple things in this, in whatever version or translation you're reading, you're going to see the word vision. Some of you in your translation may see the word revelation. You know, so we're going to just talk about that just for a second, just to give you a little education on this word. The Hebrew word used here is hazan, which means God's revelation. The vision here, revelation here, the word used is God's revelation, God's vision. That's what it means here. So you have to understand that this is a vision, a revelation from God. So what's the problem is most of the time when this passage has been taught on, it's been taught from someone that wants to get you to buy into their vision. It's a leader saying, I want you to understand my vision that I have. And you know, I could begin to lay out a plan for the church. I could begin to talk to you about my plan for the church. But you know what? My plan doesn't matter. Because I have to have a vision. I have to have a revelation of what God says for the church. It's not my plan. Too many people are coming in and having a vision and wanting to start a church themselves because they have a vision from God or revelation from God. It's because they want to do it. And you know, you can have a passion to do good, and that's wonderful. But when you have a revelation from God, that's why you don't last 6 months. That's why you last 29 years, is because I had a revelation. I had a vision from God that said, I want you to start a church in Bardstown. But it's not because we have a fancy words that we lay out and say, let me tell you all this wonderful stuff that we're going to do and how great we're going to make this impact of the world and the church and all this other stuff. That'd be our own vision. But we got to catch hold of God's vision. You can't give yourself a vision. Too many people try. You can give yourself goals. You can give yourself things to aim for, but you can't give yourself a vision. You have to get a revelation. So there's no substitute for vision. There's no substitute for vision. There's no substitute for revelation. And too many people have tried to create a substitute for it. They create a substitute for vision by saying, we're going to have the best programs that we can have. Oh, we're going to give we don't have a vision, so we're going to make a substitute for it, and we're going to have the best light show you can have. We're going to get the best camera angles. Man, I've watched a lot of people online. And every once in a while, someone asks me to have a preacher. They'll say, hey, you know, you should have this guy. And they'll send me a video. And the video are all these wonderful camera angles, you know. And I see these perfect camera angles. And they don't know I used to be a TV producer. I know a little something about angles. And there's something I'm looking for that they don't realize. I'm actually looking to see if they're preaching to anybody. They want me to have these people say, oh, they're powerful, they're amazing. And they're preaching to 6 people. Now, I'm not knocking anybody preaching to 6 people. But they sit there and want to say, this is what you need to do and this is what you need to have. And they're making it look so good. And they're giving me the best little highlight clips of these powerful one-liners, you know. And I'm like, where's the meat? Where's the word? Where is the vision? You know, people say, God's given me a great word. That's great. Is it for my church or is it for you? Did he give you a word for me, for my church, or was it just a word you're going to go give that same word to everybody else? Do you have a revelation? Or do you have good marketing? There's no substitute for vision. We can market all we want to market. We can have all the programs that we could have. But there's no substitute for God's revelation. So we have to seek what God wants to do. You got to get a revelation. If you get a revelation, you'll be blessed and not broke. 2-3 people want to be blessed? If you get a revelation, you will be blessed and not broke. You will be blessed and not broke. God wants to break this year the power of poverty off of your life. Are you listening to me? He wants to break the power of poverty and lack off of your life. Because he is a God of more than enough. You can be blessed and not broke. You can be blessed and not broke. Out of 29 years, one of the things that most people come back and tell my father that they were so glad you taught us, it was how to tithe. Because you'll be blessed and not broke. If you adhere to the Word of God, if you get a revelation and you see it, you're like, wow, I can't outgive God. You'll be blessed and not broke. But you got to get a revelation. I can't put all this fancy talk up here and try to convince you. You got to get a revelation. If you get a revelation, you'll be free and not oppressed. You'll be free and not oppressed. I see so many people walking around oppressed. So many people beaten down. So many people depressed. So many people dealing with anxiety. And all you have to do is understand and get a revelation that God's Word says you can be free. Do you know you can be free today? You can be free from past hurts. You can be free from generational things in your past. You can be free and walk in freedom if you get a revelation. You won't have to try 12-step programs. You'll learn to rely on Jesus. You can be free, set free. If you get a revelation, you will stand for what you believe and not be persuaded. When you get a revelation that the Word of God is true and it is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it didn't change because our culture did, you will get a revelation and you will stand on the Word of God. But you know what? You got to get a revelation for it. You got to get a vision for it. And the one thing about this church is we've always had a revelation of what God wants us to do. And we didn't deviate from that. We didn't try to come up with marketing plans and schemes to make it sound good. God began to speak, and we did. And everything that we've ever done for 29 years, if God spoke, we did it. We obeyed the direction of the Lord. When you get a revelation, you'll have a vision to see what others can't see. Oh, that's what's so powerful about it. When you got a revelation, people tell you how crazy you are for what you're doing. But you see something that they don't see. How many's ever seen something that just no one could see? They told you were crazy. They told you it would never happen. They told you would never amount to anything. But you saw something because you saw yourself how God sees you. And if you don't get it today, I want you to see yourself how God sees you. You need to get a revelation of what God says about you. Because you'll be able to see things that others can't see. We began to see things that others couldn't see, and we decided to send Bibles around the world, to every country in the world. Well, who has vision for that? Nobody. God speaks it. It's a revelation from God. You don't come up with a marketing scheme and plan to accomplish that. God speaks it to you. We've been cooking pork chops for over 20 years. Why? Because God spoke it. It wasn't a marketing. How do you continue to do something for 20 years and make it successful, even when everybody else wants to copy it and do the same thing? It's because it's a revelation from God. He'll bless what he puts in order. He'll bless what he establishes. Are you hearing me today? You have to understand, when it's a revelation from God, when he says, this is what I want you to do, no man can stop it. God is going to begin to open up the doors for us because it's what he wants to do, because it's his vision. We're talking about building a youth and recreation center right behind the sanctuary here up on the hill. It's going to be this beautiful big building. And we've been working with architects and we've been working with different things, but some people, you know, may say we're a little crazy for doing it. Because how do you embark on building a recreational facility, a facility for youth, when you don't have a youth pastor on staff? Well, I think we should sit back and wait till we have about 50 people and, you know, 50 youth and a really good youth leader that's in the, you know, and doing this and doing that. And then would be a good time to step out in faith. No. When God gives you a revelation and a vision, you step out whether you have what you need or not. Because if it's his vision, he'll meet the need. Because we're sitting here and we're looking at the youth of this community that are hurting, that are broken, that are lost, that everything for them is gone. And guess what? We want to create a place that they can be safe, that they can have a place to belong. Well, Pastor, don't you think you should get a youth leader first? No. It'll come when it's time. It'll come when it's time. But I have a vision from God. I have a revelation from God that our youth need to be reached. I know it's what God wants us to do. He's given us this. This isn't a scheme and plan that I've come up with. We've been talking about a youth building and a building for 10 years, 15 years, you know? It just never had the right time to institute it. But now is the time. It's the time. God's opening doors for this to happen. This week I spoke at a conservative coalition group here in Nelson County. Michael was in that group. And as I began to present them the vision of this building. And guess what? When you know it's God, one, you're passionate about it. But when you know it's God, other people get passionate about it. And they began to ask all kinds of questions because they were excited. They were excited about having something for the youth of this community, right? Because they know it's something that it's needed. And it's something that is a revelation from God. But you know, even as in Proverbs there that I was reading, it said, not by words alone. Because let me tell you, words alone won't inspire you. Words alone won't inspire you. I can get up and I can begin to paint this picture and show you pretty pictures of the building. And I can talk to you. And some people will get excited. But you won't be excited enough to pull out your pocketbook. Well, that's great. You're $20 excited. There you go. Hallelujah. Good luck. You know, that's what happens. But all of a sudden, when you get a revelation from God, when all of a sudden you feel something and you get a burning desire in your heart and say, I feel that passion and I know that need and I want to help. I want to be a part of it. All of a sudden you're pulling out $1,000 checks, $20,000 checks, you know, $100,000 offerings. Well, Pastor, you're just, you know, you're far-fetched. They've already came in. They've already came in. God's already making a way. If he did it once, he'll do it again. But it happens when people catch the vision. When they catch the revelation. It can't be my revelation. It can't be my vision. Because guess what? If it was my revelation and my vision, that means I got to go up every Friday night and work it. I'm not doing that. I don't build things so that I have more work on my plate. I build things so that someone can step up and say, I have a vision for the youth. I have a vision for the community. I want to build something so someone that says, you know what? I want to show you what drug rehab classes should look like. And I say, I got a movie theater. Put them in it. I want people to say, you know, we need marriage seminars. I got a place for you to hold it. It has to be a place of outreach, but you got to have a revelation for it. You got to have a vision, and words alone won't do that. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans. It's not about me. Who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. I'm going to tell you, when you have a revelation, you never stop producing fruit. When you have a revelation, you never stop producing fruit. When you have a revelation, you don't need to wait until you have all the money. You just have to step out in faith knowing God said he'll provide. When you have a revelation, you can produce fruit. You can produce fruit in dry, barren lands. When you have a revelation, you can keep a church going for 29 years in bourbon country. I'm telling you, you got to have a revelation. There's no substitute for vision. Words alone won't do it. We have to be trees planted, and we're never bothered by the ups and downs. We're never bothered by the economy. How many of you ever wondered why, when you were faithful in church, you never lost your job when others did? How many wonder when construction's up and down, you stayed steady? How many wonder why when you got a house when and everyone else said you couldn't? Well, because your trees planted by the river. You're rooted and grounded in the Word, and you got a vision that I can have what it says I can have. It doesn't matter what the banker says. It matters what God says. He'll bless you. He'll give you what you need. But it's not about your words. It's about the vision that God has for you. What's your vision look like? How big is your vision? I mean, how many of you, if I said today, how many of you, we're going to build a sanctuary, a new church upon the hill right over here. That's the plan, right? If I said we're going to do that, and I began to take a poll, and I passed out a piece of paper to everybody. And I said, tell me how many members, how many seats we need in that auditorium. What would you write? What would you write and hand it back to me? Do you have faith for 500? 1,000? A faith for 1,500? Do you have faith for 2,500 people? What's your faith? What's your vision? What do you believe God wants for this community? What is it? I remember when I was in sales, I was working with a sales group one day, and they were 100%, basically 100% commission. We gave them a little stipend, but it wasn't much. And one day I wanted to know how hard to push them. Because you can only push a salesperson as hard as they want to make money. That's it. And so I passed out a little sheet, and I said, how much money do you need to make this year? And they filled it out and handed it back to me. And I looked at it, and some of those numbers were stupid. And I said, all right. So I rewrote, and I crossed that out, and I wrote another number and slid it back over. I said, well, if I guaranteed you this, would you work? And one guy looked at it and said, no, slid it back over. Another guy looked at it, and he said, yeah, I'd work for that. The one guy that said no, I only changed his number by $5,000 a year. The guy that said yes, that he would work for it, I changed his number by $60,000. He had no vision. He had no revelation to make that kind of money because he had no faith to do it. He was not going to work as hard. If he made $30,000 a year, he'd have been fine. If he made $40,000 a year, he'd have been fine. Trying to tell me he wants to make $100,000 a year. He don't know what it takes. But you know what? Do you know what it takes to get a church of 1,000 people? To get a church of 2,500 people? To get a building paid for and the youth of Nelson County filling it? Do you know what it takes? It takes vision. It takes faith. It takes a revelation from God. And it takes work. It takes work. It doesn't take more work from the pastor. It takes work from every person because guess what? 29 years. I want to tell you, this is your church. It's your church. It's your church. You have to take ownership. You have to realize if we're going to have a vision to build a youth building, it's on you. You have to do something for it. If you believe that we can build a new congregation, a new sanctuary one day, it's on you. Because you have to believe the vision that God has given this place. He's not given it to me. He's given it to this place. There's a difference. Do you understand? There's a difference. It's the vision that he's given to this place. But you know, in that Proverbs, it said that they have heard and they understand, but don't respond. They understand, but don't respond. Guess what? That's not moving forward. When we've taught the same thing over and over, and we understand, but don't respond, we don't move forward. But it's time, church, that we move forward. That we understand the Word of God and respond. That we understand the vision and respond. Are you ready to respond? Because I'm not getting a lot of response right now. I mean, it's like, you know, if I'm judging your response on what we're about to do, we're going to come up short. Thank God that I got a vision from Him. See, too many people say, well, Pastor, if it's God's will, if it's God's will for the youth of Nelson County to get a facility, then God will make a way. Yeah, through you. Hello? We sit back and put too much on God and don't take any responsibility on ourselves. Well, we understand the vision, but we don't respond. Man, how many times do we do that in our own life? I understand what it takes to be a good father, but I don't respond to do it. I understand what it takes to be a good employee, to be a good husband, but I don't do it. I understand, but I don't respond. But we have to begin to respond. You know what we have to be doing? We already got to be running the race. What does Habakkuk 2 say? Verse 2, the Lord said, write my answers plainly on tablets so that a runner, someone already running, someone already moving. When we did the transition 4 years ago, we talked about this, that you what to be in motion is what you have to do. When we passed the baton, I had to be in motion to reach back to get it, but I was already looking ahead. Because you got to be running so that a runner can catch it and carry the correct message to others. We got to be running, church. We got to run. We can't walk. We got to be running. When we build this building, we're already running when someone walks in and says, I'm ready to be the youth leader. It's already established. We're already in motion. Do you understand motion? We got to be running so that a runner can carry the correct message of others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end. And it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. I'm telling you, more and more as you look at this world, you see that the end is near. And the plan and purpose that God has for his people will not be delayed. You are the generation that has to reach this generation right now. It's on you. But if you're not carrying the message, if you're not carrying the vision, if you're not running, if you're sitting back waiting for something to happen, it's already happened. You're behind. I'm telling you, if you're waiting for something big to happen, it happened. You just need the memo to get caught up. It's time. You better run a little extra. Get in shape a little bit. It's time to run marathons. It's time. But you got to be ready. You got to be ready. It's time to move forward. It's time to move forward. We got to get in motion, church. We got to get in motion. What does that look like? That first starts with us. It starts with our discipleship. It starts with us getting in there, correcting the things we need correcting, inviting people to come into that discipleship, beginning to grow, beginning to have something that we can push into others, because we've done the elementary things. We've done the basic things. It's time in these groups that we get down to the heart of matters, that we fix things that are incorrect in ourselves so we can be healthy disciples and make other disciples, make healthy disciples. It's time. How are we going to grow a church? How do you go to a church of 1,000? How do you go to a church of 2,500? You have to have a vision, a revelation from God. You got to begin to invest into others. I mean, you can't sit back and say, well, you know, bless God, one day they're just all going to show up. Well, if it's God's will, it's his will you get off your butt. That's his will. If you didn't know it, I just gave it to you. It's his will you open your mouth. It's his will you tell someone about Jesus. It's his will you walk with someone through the fire, through the storm. It's his will you help someone, you pick them up. That's his will. That's how the church grows. I'm not saying this because I want to sit back one day and say, well, we did it. We got a church of 1,000. Hallelujah, bless God. I don't do it for that. I do it because that's what needs to be reached. There are lost, hurting, broken people, and they need to be reached. And I believe with all my heart that we have the message. I believe with all my heart that our message is the correct message. As it said there in Habakkuk, I have the correct message. There's a lot of people that got a message. There's a lot of people that got a message, but that message is incorrect. That message is flawed. That message doesn't line up with the Word of God. There's a lot of churches that are telling you their new foundation and their new, what's the word I'm looking for? Bylaws and all that stuff. Doubling down on what they say and not what the Word says. They don't got a correct message. We do. Well, as long as they go to church somewhere, it's good. No, get in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Holy Ghost filled, tongues talking, church that believes in the power of healing. That believes in the power that you don't have to go to a 12-step program. You can be set free by Jesus. That's what we got to preach. That's what we got to teach, because we have the correct message. We have it. But have we responded? Have we responded? Man, go ahead and start drafting up your response to God right now of when you get to heaven and he says, why didn't you reach your community? What are you going to say? Go ahead and start practice writing it. See, just go ahead and see what kind of words impress him. Words impress him why you didn't do what you were called to do. There's too many people that know their calling and aren't walking in it because you're selfish. because you're lazy. Because you think, well, I'm not qualified. No one's qualified. No, not one. But I keep on doing, and I keep on doing, and I keep on doing. Because I know the rule book. I just got to keep going back to it. When I mess up, it sets me straight. Church, we got to move forward. You got to move forward in your life. I don't want to be like Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. The Lord says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me. I sought for a man. That's why I want to tell you that God needs you. God said, I sought for a man. I sought for a woman. I sought for a kid. I sought for a child. I sought for someone that would repair the wall, that would stand in the gap, that I should not destroy it. But I found no one. But I found no one. Would God say that about us? I sought for someone in Bardstown, Kentucky, that would stand in the gap, but I found no one. I sought for a church that would preach the truth, but I found no one. I sought for a church that would reach the community, reach the world, make an impact, but I found no one. He won't say it to me. He won't say that to me. Don't let him say it of you. Don't let him say, I sought for someone and you were that one. You were that one that could have made a difference. You were that one that could have changed these people's lives. You were the one that could have made a difference. But I didn't find anyone. We have to realize that God is calling us, you and me, to take the vision, the revelation that he's already given us, to run with it. It's amazing, after 29 years, that revelation hasn't changed. Do you understand that? The revelation of God has not changed. The revelation of God should never change. Your vision should never change. There's different little things we add to it. It grows. It grows, it doesn't change. When we started this church 29 years ago, our pastor, our apostle said, we're going to preach the truth. We're going to preach the Word of God. The Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we're going to preach it from front to back. We're not going to make any apologies. We're not going to pull any punches. 29 years later, second generation, we're still doing it. If I didn't do it, he'd knock me upside the head. Because it doesn't change. 29 years ago, said we're going to reach the world for Jesus. We're going to carry the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost. That wasn't his word, but that was his message. We're going to be a church that gives to missions. For 29 years, not one missionary has ever missed a payment. Not one missionary that we've taken on didn't receive their support from us. They'll tell you that. They'll tell you, churches have missed, come and gone, but we have stayed faithful with them from the beginning until the end. Why? Because the revelation didn't change. It didn't change that they needed support, that it didn't change that the message of God needed to go to those in other countries around the world. The message didn't change about the power of the Holy Ghost. We've never stopped preaching it. We've never told anyone it's not for today, because it's for today, it's for now, and it's for you. The message, the revelation of God hasn't changed. The question is, have you? If you look at Acts chapter 26, Acts chapter 26, Then Agrippa said to Paul, verse 1, "You may speak in your defense." Paul's arrested here. He has to go before the king. And he says to him, "You may speak in your defense." So Paul begins and tells him, I'm fortunate you're the one here in my defense. And he says, "Now listen to me patiently." And he begins in this chapter to go through these things. He began to talk about how he knew the Jewish laws. How he began to talk about, in verse 9, "I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus." He began to talk about his education. He began to talk about all these things, his criteria. But then he does something. He takes a shift on them in this passage, and he begins to tell them about his Damascus Road experience. He begins to tell them that when I was on the road, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, "Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's useless to fight against my will." He asked, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm the Lord. I'm Jesus, the one you're persecuting. Now get to your feet, because I've appeared to you to appoint you to my servants and witnesses. Tell people that you have seen me. Tell them what I will show you in the future." And Paul begins to tell them all of what his encounter with Jesus was. He begins to tell them his encounter. He begins to tell them those that were accusing him of his revelation. He begins to tell them of his vision, of his purpose, of what God wanted him to do. He begins to walk through it. And you know, I believe that if our founding pastors were put on trial, why did you preach what you preached for 29 years? Why did you teach people to give? Why did you teach people about the Holy Spirit? That they would begin to say, "Because I had an encounter with Jesus. I had a revelation of what was true. And I began to share that revelation." And Paul told him in this, "I've preached the name of Jesus all over. I've preached the truth. I persecuted long enough. I ran long enough. I did all this other stuff long enough. But then I got a revelation." I want you to know, I know everyone in this room has had a past. So you ran long enough. You did your stuff long enough. It's time to catch the revelation. But I love what he says in verse 19. And he says, "And so, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven." I obeyed that vision from heaven. And he begins to say, "And I preached. And I did what I was called to do because I had a vision." 29 years later, we have the same vision. Can you look at it and say, "I have obeyed that vision. I've carried it. I've ran with it. I did what I was supposed to do." Paul is his defense. He's held trial on trial right here. And he says, "I've done what I was supposed to do." And he tells them in this, "And I'll keep on doing it. I'll keep on doing it." That's what I'm asking now. That's what I'm asking now, 29 years, going into our 30 year. Will you keep on doing it? Will you be able to say, "I have obeyed the vision from heaven"? It's not my vision. It's not my revelation. I'm not still operating on his vision. Because his vision was God's vision. So I'm still operating on God's vision. His revelation. What he has called us to do. He told us to go and make disciples. That's what we are called to do. We are called to go and make an impact in this community. Because we're planted here. We're planted here. This is our land. This is our ground. This is our city. This is our county. This is our youth. Do you understand what I'm telling you? We're not giving it up to someone else to come in and give them some soft, weak message and let people think they're going to go to heaven just because they go to some church on Sunday morning that doesn't preach the truth and let them live like they want to live all week long. I'm telling you, you're going to be held one day on trial and you're going to have the option to say, I obeyed the vision from heaven, or you're going to begin to write your excuse why you didn't. We're moving forward, church. There's no substitute for vision. There's no substitute for it. We're not trying to give you something fancy. We're not trying to sit there and trick you. We're telling you what God wants this church to do. And you are that church. You are the ecclesia, the body of Christ. It is on all of us to fulfill the vision that God has called us to. There's no substitute. There's no substitute. Whatever you have been substituting for not doing what God's called you to do, realize it's not enough. You got to stop. Why does this always keep happening? Why I keep circling this mountain? Because you made substitutes. Why do things keep happening to me? Every time I try to get ahead, it seems like a fall back. Because there's no substitutes. There's no substitutes. I want you to catch the vision. You've seen it. Man, some of you have been so close to the breakthrough. So close to the breakthrough. And you take two steps back. I promise, if you go all in on the Word of God, if you catch a revelation, your life will never be the same. Next year, we celebrate 30 years of ministry. It'll be 5 years that Pastor Tiffany and I have been your lead pastors, as long as you don't get rid of me next year. Hope you won't. And we're going to have a ribbon cutting on a new building. Because there's a vision from heaven that we're to reach the youth of Nelson County. There's a vision that we got to grow, that we got to do what God's called us to do. And I want you to know we love you and we can't do it without you. So I need us all to move forward.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.